see what the Lord might have for us on this midweek service. And it's a great time to refuel, refocus, and refire. And so that's what the intention is tonight, is to just get recharged and then come back on Sunday and get recharged again. But nonetheless, it's good to be here this evening. We hope, again, that you've had a good week this week. And we appreciate you watching tonight. And we want to mention a few folks this evening before we get into the message, as we do every Wednesday night. And tonight, let's pray for Miss B.J. Williams. She had outpatient eye surgery today. And I haven't heard anything from her or anyone else concerning her outpatient surgery, but we pray that she did well today, and so let's remember Miss BJ. Again, let's continue to remember Brother James Townsend. On Monday, he went back and had the other part of his heart catheterization procedure surgery done, and we had posted an update on our Facebook church page. And Brother James did very well with that, and I believe he went home on yesterday, it was, and we talked with Miss Shirley, or texted with Miss Shirley on Tuesday and early in the morning, and Brother James was up drinking coffee the very next morning. And so we praise the Lord for working through doctors in the life of Brother James. But let's continue to remember him in days ahead, his recovery, Miss Shirley as well, on the results of her PET scan that she had on last Friday. Let's continue to pray for those results. Also, let's remember Miss Mary Kelly and her recovery of last Wednesday, the oral surgery that she had, and Don Capistrano as well, possible neck surgery. Let's remember her. Let's also remember, as we mentioned on Sunday morning, this is a friend of Brother David Henderson and Claude, a good friend of his, like a father figure, and he just stands in need of our prayers tonight, that God would touch him and keep him well and all of those things, and safe and healthy. So let's pray for Claude, and let's also remember Brother Randy Maddox, his sister, with a health condition. I'm not sure if she was going to have surgery or not. Seems like he said this past Sunday that she was, but nonetheless, we'll remember her and her health. And let's remember Brother Harold Dolph in our prayers. He soon will have a surgery done within the colon, and they're going to do some work up in there in that area. So let's pray for Brother Harold. And also, Brother Trell Norton had a prayer request that I failed to mention last week, but yet we certainly prayed for his prayer request. And that was, he had a prayer request concerning a lady named Vicky, who was having shoulder surgery, I believe it was, this past Friday, and that turned out well. And so we praise the Lord for that, for answering prayer and bringing folks through their surgeries. Let's also remember the children's home, staff, and children. Let's remember Brother Charlie Wilson in our prayers, Marcia Turner. And let's remember Arnold McCrickard as he continues to recover from his kidney surgery. Miss Melissa Slagle, family and job. Let's remember Don and Carla Rich. Let's remember Alan and Terry Clayton, Lauren and Rhett Hancock, and her mother, Patty, and her health, Brother Jamie as well. Ceylon and Catherine Plemons, Miss Catherine's mother, Marge. Let's remember her. Jim and Don Daly, James Daly. Let's remember the Teagues tonight, Connie's brother, Bill. Let's remember Miss Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, down at the rehab in Powder Springs. We delivered some DVDs. We'd mentioned Sunday morning that Brother Brian Busby had delivered a TV, which has a DVD player and Blu-ray And so we had mentioned, Christy did, on Sunday morning after service, that she was in need of some DVDs. And so we dropped off Four Seasons of the Waltons today for her to enjoy. And also, I believe some others have donated. Miss Lee Ellen has or is going to. And so if you have, we're not asking that you go out and spend any money, but if you have some them old-fashioned kind of DVDs, shows, that'd be great. We'll turn those in. You can give them to me, and we will give them to Miss Barbara. Tonight, let's also remember Rusty and Chris Watkins, Health, Family, and Work. Joe and Lynn Vandiver, his sister-in-law Charlotte has cancer. Miss Jenny Clanton, her husband Jimmy, Randy and Diane Ely, let's remember them and her brother that has cancer. Ed and Marianne Sandy, spoke with them today, and Brother Ed was doing pretty good. Of course, they still in need of much prayer for Brother Ed and his speech, but doing pretty good, and so we're praying for them. Jeff and Sharon Hodges, their son-in-law Chris, some more physical elements going on with him. Let's pray for him. Miss Cassie Karanovich, Gerald and Francis Carroll, Eddie and Joanne Rich, and Ashley, Aiden, Bentley, and Eli. Let's remember all of our shut-ins, and let's remember James Tolan Brown, our Marine out of the children's home. And let's remember America tonight. Let's remember those in leadership from the very top in the presidency all the way down to our local government. Let's just remember to pray for our land, for the healing of our land. But we also need to pray for the repentance of those that are in the land, that they would turn to the Lord. We're just living in a time and a day that's very, very corrupt, where people are calling wrong right. And, you know, just everything goes, it's creeping into the schools and then finally into the home. And I believe tonight, ultimately, that's where the devil wants it to go, is into the home. And if he can destroy the home, then everything else falls apart. But let us pray for our land, let's pray for our world with this worldwide pandemic, and every soul, every life, every person, every position. Tonight we do thank God for our first responders, those who have given their lives for our protection. And so tonight, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we will bring about the message we feel the Lord has prepared for us tonight. Let us pray. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for the things that you do. Lord, tonight we lift up all of these requests. We are so very thankful for those whom you've touched. Thank you for touching Brother James, Lord, and allowing him to get through those procedures, Lord, with no complications. We just pray for his health, that you would bring it back speedily. And also, Miss Shirley, we pray for a good report from her PET scan, dear Lord. And tonight we pray for Brother Harold as he approaches whenever they give him his surgery day. We pray for his surgery, that you would be with him and make him better than he was before, Lord, is our prayer. And God, tonight we just lift up to you Miss BJ and her recovery, Miss Mary Kelly and Don Capistrano. Father, in all of these that we mention, Lord, be with our children's home. We're so thankful that we have a place, Lord, for children to go that doesn't have homes, Father, and that they could be raised in a godly sort, after a godly manner. We're thankful for our children. We're thankful for our staff there. Father, we do pray for each and every person in every life. Brother Snyder and the leadership there, Brother Brian, all the house parents, Lord, we lift them up to you tonight and pray that you give them wisdom and give them patience and ability. We're just so very thankful tonight for the ministry of the children's home. And Father, we lift up all of these requests. We pray for our world tonight, this worldwide pandemic. Oh Lord, we pray that you will dissolve the matter, that the world would love you like you love the world. And Lord, we pray for those in leadership, government of the United States, God. Let that administration bend their hearts towards you and see that the Christian life, a life living for Jesus, is the best life to live and the only peace that there really is. And tonight, Father, again, we pray for our own folks here at Calvary. We pray for Claude, that you'll touch him. Randy's sister, that you'll touch her. Each and everything that we mentioned, every person that comes on Sundays, those that have been faithfully watching on Sundays and Wednesdays, Lord, we're just so thankful for Calvary Baptist Church. Father, we're thankful for Mount Calvary. And tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd use us. Help us to rightly divide your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll communicate your word to the hearts of your people. We love you tonight, and we thank you for all the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now, and the things that you're going to do. We ask all these things with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians this evening for a few moments. And 2 Corinthians is where we're going to be for a few moments. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 for a few moments tonight. And we want to mention some things here in verse number 1 down through verse number 4. And our main emphasis tonight will be on verse number 3, actually. But notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians 11, and verse number 1. Paul says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Tonight we're going to stop there in verse number 4. And by way of summarization, introduction tonight, let me just say this, that the book of 1 Corinthians is a book concerning Paul's correction to the church of Corinth. As you know, the church of Corinth was a very, very carnal church. And so Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Lord, in 1 Corinthians, a letter of correction. And you know, as you've studied and read before, some of the things going on in that church. And in fact, they had to excommunicate someone out of that church based upon the writings of Paul, telling them how to handle that. And so 1 Corinthians has to do with Paul's correction to the church. Here in 2 Corinthians, this has to do with Paul's vindication. Paul's vindication. Paul's correction, 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, Paul's vindication. In other words, Paul had to vindicate or justify, brag in a sense, on who he actually was. The apostle of Jesus Christ, a messenger from him. And Paul didn't like bragging on who he was. As you know, Paul was a humble man. He was a man that God had changed his life entirely. But nonetheless, Paul, his demeanor, his appearance, he was kind of a frail man, a small man, and it didn't look like, on the outside, it didn't look like he would fit that bill. And of course, we know that there were many false apostles and many false teachers that were in the area trying to spread a false gospel, a false doctrine. And so therefore, they tried to say that Paul was false. They tried to say to the Corinthians that Paul was the false teacher. And you know, the very same thing goes on in our day. Wherever there is truth being taught, wherever there is truth being walked out and lived, the devil always likes to combat that. He always tries to oppose righteousness. So really, it's nothing different in our day than it was Paul's day. But nonetheless, we see in verse number 1, Paul's plea. He says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." He says, he uses the word bear here, which means to endure. And then he uses the word folly, which actually means, in one definition, egotism. Egotism. And so Paul is saying to the Corinthians, "Would to God," or "I wish ye could endure with me a little in my egotism, and indeed bear with me." They all knew what kind of man Paul was, and so therefore Paul prefaced, in a sense, what he was about to say. In other words, justifying who he was, vindicating his own self and his apostleship. And so we see Paul's plea to the Corinthians. He says, "Would to God you could endure with me a little in my folly or egotism, and indeed bear with me." And then in verse number 2, again by way of introduction, we see Paul's passion. He says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." Now, that word jealousy here, it means warmth of feeling. And, you know, jealousy, the wrong, used in the wrong way, is sinful. It's a bad thing. We shouldn't be jealous over one another. The Bible tells us to be content with such things as we have. We ought to be content with the Lord and all of those things. But there is another kind of jealousy. And Paul says that he has a warmth in his heart toward the Corinthians. He has this phileo kind of love that we mentioned Sunday morning, a brotherly love, this kind of love, a phileo love. And of course, he tried to, like we all do, operate out of the agape love for one another. But Paul was jealous over the Corinthians. Listen to what he says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And so, in other words, what Paul is saying is, "I preached the gospel to you, and ye accepted that gospel, and I led you to the Lord," so to speak, being a father to them spiritually. And he says that all of these false teachers and all of this false doctrine is in the area and it's trying to creep into the church. And he says, "I have a problem with that. I don't want it to get to you." And so therefore, he is passionate over his people. He's trying to protect them as a shepherd protects the sheep here. Verse number 2, he is jealous over them with godly jealousy. He says he has espoused them to one husband, that he may present them as a chaste virgin to Christ. So we see Paul's passion, but then in verse number 3 we see Paul's protection. He says in verse number 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, wherever we have a godly jealousy, wherever there is a heart that wants to shepherd people, it may be some, of course, it's your family. You want to lead, guide, and direct and protect. But anybody else, a friend, someone you are mentoring, someone that you are looking after, you're always wanting to protect them. You have a passion for them. But, and then at the same time, there's a fear, or can be a fear. And the fear would be that something would happen to the people you love. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I love you. I led you to the Lord. He says, but I fear that the devil will trick you into believing a falsehood, and it will corrupt your mind. And so we see Paul's protection here. He says it's the same way that the serpent in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3 actually beguiled Eve. How that the Lord said in chapter number 2 of Genesis, ye shall not eat, or ye shall, in other words, eat out of all the trees in the garden, but that one tree in the center of the garden, ye shall not eat of that tree. The knowledge of good and evil, and the day that ye eat thereof, ye will surely die. And then chapter number 3, in verse number 1, is where the serpent comes in. And we know that the serpent, it tricked Eve, because the serpent continued to say, hath God said, ye may not eat of the tree in the garden, there in the middle. And so basically, the serpent at that point was putting a question mark where God put a period. God said in chapter number 2, don't eat that tree in the center of the garden. Eat of that tree in the center of the garden. The devil said, the serpent said in chapter number 3, hath God said. And you see, sometimes in life when we take stands for righteousness and we try to be that good mentor or leader, trying to protect those whom we love, the devil likes to creep into their ears, and he likes to put a question mark where God has placed a period. And so Paul is fearing that. Paul had preached a gospel to them concerning Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, salvation by grace through faith. And he feared that all of these others would come along. All of these false prophets, false teachers would come along, and the devil would use them to put a question mark where God put a period. In other words, these false teachers would come by and say, oh, it's not by grace through faith you get saved, but you have to uphold the law. You have to do some works. So we see that Paul is trying to protect them. If you look back in verse number 4, notice what he says. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So tonight, by way of introduction, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at Paul and his plea, Paul and his passion, and Paul and his protection. But for a few moments tonight, I want to call your attention to verse number 3, where he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Tonight, I want to take that last phrase, the simplicity that is in Christ, and I want to share with you a message for a few moments tonight on that subject, the simplicity of Christ, the simpleness of Christ. The devil tonight and his messengers, his false prophets and teachers, love to corrupt minds and cause confusion. He would love to do the same to you and to me concerning biblical truth. Now, I think it goes without saying this evening that as we look into our world, as we look into the United States tonight, the devil is running rampant. He is trying to distort genuine, authentic Bible truth. He is trying to, and he is creating much confusion when it comes to how you get to heaven. Is there an afterlife? The true meaning of life? The devil tonight is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Satan tonight is trying to throw out the allurement of drugs and alcohol, saying that that's the joy of life. And so the devil, he is out and about. He is destroying families. He is destroying churches. And this very thing is why Paul wrote what he wrote here, because he says that in Christ there is simplicity. In other words, Christ in his gospel message is simple. Anything that the Lord wants us to know pertaining salvation, pertaining service, pertaining life, death, real joy, fulfillment, all comes down to a thing being simple and not confusing. And so tonight, with that said, Jesus spoke plainly and with simplicity concerning the things we need to know. And the devil is working hard tonight, trying to make the simple complicated. But I do want to say tonight that in Christ there is simplicity. In Christ there is joy, there is peace, and there is all of those things that surround him, and it is approached and accepted simply, in a simple form. There's nothing confusing about it. There's nothing along those lines that makes it impossible in order to have a fulfilled life, but the devil likes to try to do that. Tonight, I want to mention just a few things, three or four things, when it comes to this simplicity, being in Christ. I want to give you some examples about how simple Scripture is to be taken. Now, I am not saying tonight that that I understand everything about the Bible, and I'm not saying tonight that there are not things that are difficult to understand, but I do want to say that in Christ there is simplicity. In the gospel message there is simplicity. How to get saved is not confusing. How to serve him is not confusing. Eternal security, it's simple, it's not confusing. And so tonight let's mention a few things along those lines concerning the simplicity of Christ. And the first example is salvation. Salvation. We know the devil has been trying to destroy or complicate God's plan of salvation. But in Romans chapter number 10, some of my favorite verses, Romans chapter number 10, this is the simplicity of Christ concerning salvation. Romans 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that Christ hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about that? It's simple. It's nothing confusing. It's plainly laid out that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so tonight, salvation, its approach is very simple. And it's plainly spoken. But also tonight, on the same token, the devil and those who speak false doctrine, they have another approach when it comes to salvation. Ephesians chapter number 2. Now, notice this in verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Paul mentions here to the Ephesians that salvation is by grace through faith. Grace plus nothing, minus nothing. Faith plus nothing, minus nothing. And verse number 9, he says, not of works. Tonight, the devil and his foot soldiers, those who spread false doctrine, want people to think they have to add something in order to be saved. The Jehovah Witnesses tonight will tell you that only 144,000 chosen will be in paradise. And those same Jehovah Witnesses, they go from door to door knocking and handing out the Watchtower tract, which is all false doctrine built upon works. Now, tonight, hey, they're steady. They're persistent. And I guess the Baptist Church could fashion after them in such a manner by being steady and by being determined and persistent. But their gospel, I ain't gonna call it gospel, but their message is false. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that if you hand out enough material, the Watchtower, then you might be one of the 144,000. And so that is the devil trying to confuse matters, trying to confuse the simplicity that's in Christ tonight. Listen, salvation comes by Jesus alone, by faith alone. His grace is that which saves us, not of works. So tonight there are many, there's even some denominations that try to add a works unto salvation. Water baptism's another one. The Church of Christ. And tonight, listen, the water does not save us. And if you get baptized in a baptistry and you never repented of your sin and accepted Jesus through faith, and you get baptized and you come up, you're just a wet sinner, you see. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Baptism doesn't put away the filth of the flesh, Peter says. But tonight we embrace it through faith by grace. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I'm not saying that salvation is wrapped up in just a prayer. If you just recite those words, Romans 10:9, you'll be saved. I know you know that. But I did want to say that it's not just praying a prayer, but it is coming to that realization and repenting in your heart that you are a sinner and you've offended God and you are guilty of your sin and you will spend an eternity in a devil's hell without him. So we see that the devil likes to confuse that. And there are countless, countless people tonight that are trying to do many good works. They're trying to live a sober life, and that's good, but it won't get you to go to heaven. They're trying to treat people good, and that's good, but it won't get you to go to heaven. Only by the grace of God will you go to heaven. The simplicity in Christ. Now, there's a second one I want to use for an example. Not only salvation, but security, meaning eternal security. In the book of John, chapter number 10, there is many, many places to find scriptures concerning eternal security. But in John chapter number 10, in verse number 27, down to verse number 29, this is the simplicity of Christ, not only concerning salvation, but eternal security. He says in John 10, in verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never tonight means never. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Eternal security tonight. Not only salvation is simple in theme, but also the security eternally that comes along with it is simple in theme. He says in verse number 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. And so he's talking about the life that goes on beyond this life. Shall never perish, but shall always be living and alive with God. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, that word man is in italics, and it's a filler in order to make the sentence complete. But tonight, no man shall be able to take away our salvation. No thing shall be able to take away our salvation. No person, no thing, no situation, no sin. Why is that? Because once you hear the voice of the shepherd and you give him your heart, you are in his hand, under his control, never to be plucked out by anybody, anything, no way, no how. Tonight, that's the simplicity of Christ concerning security eternally. Now, Satan tonight, and all of those preaching false doctrine tonight, they would have us to believe that we can lose our salvation, and which means having it, and not definitely not having it hereafter. Now, Jesus made it simple. Once we come to him, we're his. We didn't earn it. We don't lose it. But in Romans 8, verse number 35, listen to this. Because Satan tries to confuse matters that we could possibly lose our salvation here and never go to be with him there. Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. That word things, that covers a whole lot. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Satan tries to tell us at times. He tries to make us doubt that God loves us. He tries to make us feel like at times, if we're not careful, that he has abandoned us, that he has forgotten about us. And as Paul writes these things, he mentions several things. Verse 35, he mentions tribulation. Has anybody had any recent tribulation where it got so hot and it got so heavy, you just kind of wondered in your heart what was going on? Okay, Lord, what's going on here? Tribulation, distress, he mentions all of these things. But the devil would love to use these things to confuse matters. But tonight, Jesus has not only saved us, those that are saved, in simplicity, but he has also given us eternal security in simplicity. Nothing will be able to separate us from him in our position with him here nor there. It's eternal. It's forever. It starts here and it continues there, you see. But nothing will be able to separate us from his love. But the devil likes to complicate matters. He likes to confuse the simplicity that's in Christ. Again, we didn't earn it, and we don't lose it. Third area, this kind of goes along with the second area, and that is the area of sin. The area of sin. You know, there's a doctrine of sin, and there's also a reality of slips and blunders as a believer after salvation. So what does the Bible say about that? It's simple. Look at 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. If we, notice the word there, we. John is including himself with the children of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The simple truth when it comes to sin is, just because a person gets saved, that doesn't mean they stop sinning. Yeah, sinning less. You see, Christians, tonight we get this rap that we're trying to be perfect, and or at least we think we're better than everybody. We're holy rollers. No. We're not perfect, we're just forgiven. And a person that gets saved and meets Jesus, God changes their desires. They don't want to sin anymore. They don't want to do the things that they used to do. They don't want to spend countless minutes and hours and days and weeks being fruitless and unwholesome. Those that know Jesus as Savior want to walk in the light, as verse number 7 is. Want to have fellowship with Christ. But I'm here to say tonight that just because we're saved doesn't mean there's no blunders. Doesn't mean we don't ever drop the ball. Again, in verse number 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, notice this, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's a dangerous thing, self-deception is, where you get to the place where you have justified your sin, and you have justified your mistakes. He says that is self-deception. If we say that we have no sin, that's the person that's deceived. Oh, well, you know, it's just a little sin, or it's just, you know, it's nothing major, that kind of person. Or it's also the person who says, you know, I haven't sinned, and I'm pure, you know, no blunders, no mistakes. It's all of that. He says that's the person living in deception. Because John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Listen, if John sinned, we gonna sin. But the simplicity to the issue of sin is that we still make blunders. But the devil tonight, Satan, would have you and I to think that if we make a mistake, then we're not saved. I can't tell you the many times that I've talked to Christians during my time in ministry, and even before, that friends and family even, and extended family and churchgoers, they would say, Brother Justin, I don't think I'm saved. I made a mistake this past week, and, you know, people that are saved don't make mistakes. And so I say many times, where did you get that doctrine from? That that Christians don't make mistakes. And, you know, it's a thing that the devil likes to confuse about salvation. But the truth of the matter is, we do still sin. But we're forgiven. And we don't sin that, as Paul says, that grace may abound so that we might heap grace upon grace. No. But the blessing is that when we do sin, we have a continual advocate that pleads our case to God the Father, which is God the Son. And the Bible says here in John that He is the propitiation for our sin, and not only our sin, but the sin of the whole world. Jesus is our satisfaction. If we slip as a believer, if we sin as a believer, if we make blunder after blunder after blunder, so sick of it that we just want to give up. Listen, don't give up, but know this, that you are just as pure in the eyes of God as if you never made a blunder. Just if I had never sinned. You're justified, sanctified, set apart, and one day will be glorified. But Satan tonight, he likes to come around, and he, as he did Eve, beguiled Eve in the garden. Hath God said? Hath God said? Somebody may be watching tonight, and maybe you dropped the ball this week, and maybe you've made a blunder this week. And before that, you knew you were saved. But now the devil's in your ear saying, are you saved? Well, if you was really saved, then you wouldn't have made that mistake. You just tell the devil that there is simplicity in Jesus, meaning I am not perfect, I do make blunders, and I want to do better, but I am righteous by Jesus in the sight of God. The simplicity of Christ. The devil loves to confuse matters tonight. He loves to creep in. That same old devil works in the same old ways as it did in the garden. He likes to put a question mark where God put a period. Let me mention something else. Not only that, but the area of service. The area of service. There is a simplicity in Christ when it comes to serving Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, notice this in verse number 27. Verse number 26. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know that word, foolish, simply means dull or stupid. That's exactly what it means. But God hath chosen the dull things, uneducated things, ignorant things, stupid things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. How about that tonight? The simplicity of Christ concerning service. It's simple. God doesn't call the qualified, but He qualifies the called. Did you get that? I know it almost sounds cliche, but it's Bible, it's truth tonight. God, He doesn't call the qualified, but He qualifies the called tonight. And so this evening we see that the Bible tells us, not many, verse 26, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things, the ignorant things. Listen, the devil likes people to think that they're not smart enough to serve the Lord, that they're not they're not smart enough. They're not good enough to serve the Lord. Listen to this. In chapter number 2, in verse number 3, listen what Paul says. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Does that sound like a mighty warrior who has it all together with bravery and courage? No, it doesn't. But was Paul a mighty warrior and had bravery and courage? Yes. Yes. But he was with them in weakness and fear and much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What do we see here? We see that a man, the Apostle Paul, there were times of weakness and there were times of fear. There were times of much trembling. He didn't have persuasive language as men would have of this world who are rehearsed. But Paul, he relied upon the power of God. He was depending upon the Lord to use him and to make strong his weaknesses, to demolish his fear, and to give him bravery when he trembled and stood and spoke. And verse number 5 says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This just tells us the simplicity of serving. Listen, you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have enticing words of man's wisdom. You don't have to know the latest in politics. You don't have to know hardly. You don't have to know anything. Anything. The Lord takes you as you are. And then He begins to mold and shape you and use you and me. So what a blessing that is. But you know, Satan likes to confuse that simplicity. He likes to say, oh, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. None of us are good. You're not talented enough. You're not gifted enough. No one will listen to you. You can't tell anybody about Jesus without stumbling over your words. That is a lie of the wicked one tonight. It comes from him and likes to create confusion. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to serving Jesus, all you have to do is make yourself available. And he will take that and use it. I know we all remember the story of the little lad with the fish and the loaves. In that story, I see this. I see a transfer in a transform. Out of the many times I preached that, the last time I preached it was the Sunday after the Jubilee of 2020 we came out of, right before the pandemic. And I preached on that. I believe it might have been March the 11th. We had one service after Jubilee and then the pandemic. And so things have been changed since then. But when I preached it, the Lord has spoke to me as I was preparing. And I seen, and it was this. The little lad transferred what he had. Two words out of that whole story still stands out to me. He had the fish and the loaves. And then he transferred it into miracle hands. And when he transferred it, it was transformed and fed multitudes upon multitudes of people. 5,000 plus. That's just counting the men. You see, it's all about transfer and it being transformed. Listen, when it comes to serving Jesus, all we have to do is make ourselves available. When it comes to even being the spouse, the parent, listen, we just heed the word of God. Give ourselves to Him and surrender. We transfer ourselves to be spouses. God transforms us into the right kind of spouse. We give ourselves parentally to the Lord and we transfer, and God transforms our parenting. And of course, serving God, we give what little bit we have, we surrender to Him, and He transforms it. And so Satan, he is definitely the author of confusion tonight. We don't have to be talented. We don't have to be skillful. Yeah, different positions and things like that. There's things that are in place there. But all we have to do is be available tonight. Again, Paul was ridiculed. And really, when you come to think about it, here in chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 3 and 4, some of them drew their own conclusion that he wasn't the real thing because of his weakness and vulnerabilities that was probably seen. But yet, God used him, the simple man, to do extraordinary things. Tonight, there is a simplicity to be found in Christ concerning salvation and its end, which is really the beginning in eternity. It's simple. Don't be confused by the devil. And then concerning sin, we still fumble. We still make blunders. Don't let the devil confuse you that you're not saved. Of course, everybody should examine themselves if they feel that way. But then service, that the Lord uses and can use anybody. And He puts them through His school. And He uses them for His glory tonight. That's the message. Basically, Paul was wanting the simplicity of Christ to remain. And no false teachers try to corrupt the minds of His church. Father, tonight we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. Lord, tonight I pray that Your word would sink deep into the hearts of Your people. I pray that someone was helped. I pray that something was done. We love You tonight. We thank You. Keep us all safe. Bring us back safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining tonight faithfully like you always do. Meet with us in person or online this coming up Sunday at 11 a.m. And we'll see what the Lord will have for us then. God bless and good night.